Welcome back to another edition of Every Step of the Way Bible Study Discussion Group. A little more information about us. We're more of a discussion forum, a group of brothers that get together every Tuesday and talk about the gospel, share the gospel, share scriptures, and we tie it in with real life situations and try to make it plain and hopefully everybody can relate to it and we try to just bounce things off each other and make it make sense to the average man or even a seasoned person in the word. So hopefully you enjoy it.
It's the group discussion everyone wants more of. The type of conversation people want to be a part of. We share the gospel, scriptures, and we talk real life situations. You've heard us and followed us on Facebook Live. Now you can watch us right here on the Vision Live Network. The wait is over. It's now time for the Hour of Truth. Welcome to the Every Step of the Way Bible Discussion Podcast. The real starts now.
And I've been really looking forward to this, and I'm sure you guys have too. So without any further ado, turn it over to Brother Jerome.
Guys, to start out with, I started looking for, you know me, man, I go deep. And I started looking in the Bible for my next big test that I had. And I ran across Ecclesiastes, and man, it was so enlightening to me. So I decided to do it. So the whole book, we're gonna do a discussion, and I want you guys to get involved because this is not about me. I want to make sure this is not about me, but this is about us. This is about how we can help one another in life, and life conditions, and life matters. Now, Bump and I have had kind of some of these type of discussions tonight, so I'm sure he's gonna be able to put some of his input in it. But I want everybody to give me their take on how they see this book. Now, in the book, in the first verse, it talks about the son of David. But I think everybody know that Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon. It was written by King Solomon and his life, man, and how he saw life at that particular time. But I want to repeat one thing, and then I'm gonna go right on into it, man. Solomon was one of the greatest men God ever gave knowledge to. He gave Solomon so much. He gave Solomon had 1,000 wives. He had money. He had land. He had knowledge and wisdom, unreal knowledge and wisdom. So when we're talking about this tonight, I want us to be not lean to your own understanding. Think about this is a man of God that God gave knowledge to, unlimited knowledge to, and wisdom to. So, and he's saying this thing. This is not Jerome saying this thing. I'm going straight out of the Bible, guys. This is not about me. I'm jacked up because I like this thing. But Solomon said, everything is meaningless.
Yes.
So my point to us is, my first question of the night, how do we get to a point in life where material things, money, goals does not matter? I say this again. How do we get to a point in our life where we are content with life that God has given us and we stop chasing after the wind? That's what Solomon called it. He says, you can gain it all. You can have it all. You can have all the women. You can have all the money. You can have all the knowledge and the wisdom. And he called it chasing after the wind. So my first question goes to you, Brother Charles. And tonight, guys, if you respond, I want to try to keep it down to about 3 to 4 minutes per response so we can move on to the next person, because I want to hit the Bumps of the world, the Prentices of the world. I want to give everybody an opportunity tonight to get me some input on this, because I really believe that we're going to reach somebody tonight that may be living above their means, thinking that they got to be like the Joneses, what we used to call it. But God says it's meaningless without God in your life. Mm-hmm. It's meaningless to chase after the wind because you're going to die anyway. Brother Charles, do we get to a point in life where those things just does not matter?
I reckon the world kind of, the world has programmed us to put value on our life, or success on our life, on things.
Amen.
For example, I mean, when I was working, I worked all the time trying to make money, and the more money I made, I just started chasing. But you get down to the bottom, what does the money mean to you if you don't have that relationship with God?
Amen.
He is the source of life.
Amen.
But yet I put my manhood or my value in life on what things I could buy or what things or what I accomplished or where I was living. You can lose all that stuff in a heartbeat.
Let me go to the next person, Charles. Prentice, I want you to play off what Charles just answered. Does your money fulfill you? Does you feel like the more money you make, does that give you gratification about your success in life?
At this point, no. At one point, yes.
Amen. Amen.
Because that's all I wanted was the paper chase.
Amen.
Because all I figured was if I had more, I could buy more, I could impress. My ideal
thing was to
try to impress. Whether it was to impress women or the press, just try to belong at some point. And Bump can attest to this because I was just trying to belong at one point in my life. Not
Amen.
The life of God. When you asked that first part, I thought of serenity.
Amen.
Because you have to get to a point of surrender in order to get like that. The quote I've tasted. I didn't taste a lot in life, but I tasted enough that, hey, me ask the question at 3 o'clock in the morning, is this it?
Yeah.
I think we get to a point in life and we go, this it. Somehow I know that there's something missing.
Bump. I want to go to Bump now. Bump, you give me your take on that, Bump. Give me Bump. I got a question to you, Bump. Do you honestly believe that enough money is enough? How much is enough?
Now, yes, sir. I do honestly believe that. And I'm going to answer because I ain't never had no money. So from day one, I ain't never had no money. So nobody can't accuse me of nothing about taking out no money because I ain't never had none. But what's so good about what Prent was talking about, I wanted to get on it about him wanting to belong. And the one thing that I want to say to everybody in the group is money doesn't make you rich, guys. It just makes you have a lot of money. And what I mean by that, you heard me say that before, Jerome, is that money, I'm one of the richest men in this world. But it ain't because of money. I have a beautiful wife. I have a beautiful family. I have a roof over my head. And see, I've always looked at the simple things. But during our discussion, Jerome, I know during our discussion that we've had over the years, is just because that money, I don't look, chase after money doesn't mean that I won't try to pursue goals or dreams or go try to after the win. Is it? And for me personally, I like the win. I told y'all that when we first started talking and we first got together, Jerome, you know that we were discussing. But is there a point where we're supposed to be satisfied with what we have? And if you ask me that, yes, we do.
Amen.
Yes, we do, because I am satisfied where I'm at. But do I also want to be to accomplish things out through the life of the breath that I have? Yes, I do.
I'm gonna go to Todd now. Todd, let me ask you this, Todd. You heard what Bump said, because I'm trying to get everybody to play off of each other so that we can learn together.
Yes, sir.
Would you ever chase after the win from a money standpoint, or do you think it's smart for people to chase money and put their family concerns in jeopardy? Because, see, I see a lot of people chase dreams and chase money, and then their family the one that's got to struggle through it all because you're not thinking about the big picture. You got to think about the big picture. So, Todd, I want you to elaborate on that.
When I read that, that's one of my favorite books to read because it's kind of like a reminder. And Solomon, to me, he was always looking for peace. Nothing, he could never get to peace because he had everything. He had everything else, but he never had a place of peace in his life. So when you start talking about ignoring family issues or the things, because those things are really what's important. You know, as I'm chasing and finding my purpose, all those things ties into me being a better father and a better husband. So for me to spend any time chasing anything that's financial or monetary takes me away and distracts me from my purpose and from my peace.
Josh, I'm going to give you a hard question. Now, I hated that it just fell on you like that. But for some reason, in my spirit, it was for you, Josh. I'm being honest with you. Josh, have you ever purchased something or bought something and knew before you bought it that you should not buy this?
Yeah,
I can hear you now.
Okay. Yes, sir. I think it was my second car. My first car, my mom purchased for me. My second one, it was a Honda Passport. And I remember I had to have that car. It had tint on it. It had rims on it. And I bought that car for everybody else because I wanted to see me having it. You know, it just, you know, just being young and dumb and just wanting people to see, hey, I want this. I can go get it. Look what I got. Look at me.
Josh, I want to appreciate your honesty, man, because we all have done that.
Yes.
And I'm going to Glenn after this because Glenn going to tie all this up with scripture. So Josh, and to everybody in the world, what we do as individuals and people in life, we have a tendency to be envious of the next man. Mm-hmm. But what we don't know is what's going on in somebody else's household. We don't know whether that person is struggling, trying to live up to their means. And we go out and do something for them to say, hey, look what I got. And we're struggling. We're struggling to make ends meet. People do that. People go out and buy things. But Solomon, I want to make sure I refer it back to this Ecclesiastes, y'all. Solomon says it's not even important.
Yes.
It's a chasing after the wind. It's not that important to live like the Joneses, to live a certain way. And as Christians, guys, what I'm talking to us about tonight, when we give our life to Christ, according to, and we look at what Solomon is saying, everything should not matter unless it is pertaining to God.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah.
Nothing else matters. And Bump, no, that's one of my favorite statements now. It just don't matter no more. It just don't matter, guys. If you really look at the big scheme of things or that we're going to live and we're going to die, and we put ourselves, because Solomon said everything is worrisome. So when you put yourself in predicaments like that and you overspend yourself and you go chasing after the wind and you can't afford it, you causing problems for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So Glenn, tie it all up for me, brother. Give me something good. Give me something, Glenn.
Well, you know, first you gotta look at Solomon's beginning. Solomon was the son of David and Bathsheba.
Bathsheba.
We all know how that came
Amen.
About.
Amen.
How Bathsheba was taking a bath and David called for her and killed her husband. And then he could take the throne, Solomon had to go and fight for the throne.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in First Chronicles. But when he got to Second Chronicles, he asked God, he said, how can I lead these people? In 2 Chronicles chapter 6. And what he asked God was for wisdom to lead the people.
Yes.
And when he asked for wisdom, God said, because you asked for wisdom and not riches, I'm going to give you wisdom like there's never been before, and I'm going to give you riches. And his wisdom was so sought out that people came from all over the place to see it. Even the queen of Ethiopia came to sit with him just to get to his knowledge. When he gets to Ecclesiastes, or writing Ecclesiastes, he's experienced things that are so far beyond our understanding, because he even tells, he said, I, the preacher, set myself to know all things and found it to be selfish and vanity.
Amen.
Vanity of vanities and foolish toil. So what Solomon's letting us know is that I have set knowledge. I have gone, I've looked at all things, I've tried to experience it, and I've experienced everything. Right down to even experience other religions, because some of his wives were pagans, and he stepped away from God to experience what it would be on the other side. And when he came to the conclusion, he realized it is all selfish. And what you're saying, Jerome, if all we chase after is the paper chase and money, then it's a selfish toil because the eye is never satisfied.
Amen. I'm glad you went there.
And Ecclesiastes chapter 1, he said, the river runs, but it's never full. And it runs into the sea, and the sea is never overflowing.
Yes.
And so he lets us know that we can try and chase after the stuff, but it's just for nothing. So if he's telling you that if you're willing to give up your relationship with God for things that are materialistic, you're never going to be satisfied. I mean, even Paul says it in his writings. He says that if I do all these things and have not Christ, it is vanity and selfish toil. And I'm a tingling cymbal and a sound of brass if I don't have love. So you're tying Solomon in. Solomon lets us know from the beginning, I am the wisest king, the wisest man God has ever put knowledge into. And I can tell you now, everything you're chasing after is for naught, because you're never going to be satisfied with those things outside of God.
Now let me tie that last statement in with scripture. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, whoever loves money never has enough money. No. Now, this is not Jerome saying this. No. This is scripture. And then he says, whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This is Bible, man. This is Bible stuff that I wish I'd have got, because I was one of these guys. I was Bump Noah, man. And me and Bump done had, I chased the wind. I chased it. I didn't care about my marriage. I didn't care about nothing. I wanted to make that money so I can. I had a goal of retiring at 50. But what Bump can attest to, I had a little bit of change, but I was unhappy, y'all. And that's real. I'm putting myself out there right now. I had a little bit of change. I was working 70 and 80 hours a week, going out of town, having to call Bump or my brother, let them know where I'm going to my next destination.
Hallelujah.
I'll be working 24 hours a day sometime, y'all, trying to chase that money. I had the money, but I didn't have the happiness. Because I used to, Bump and I used to talk. I envied Bump because he had a wife. He had
love. He won't be like me, bro.
And I didn't have that. I had a few change. I don't want to say I had a little money. I had a few dollars, but I didn't have happiness. So I'm telling these young men right now today, chase love and happiness. Solomon said, eat, drink, and be happy. He didn't say make money. He said, eat, drink, and be happy.
Yes.
So now I want to go to young man Josh. Josh, what I want to say to you, Josh, get your priorities in order. So Josh, figure out a way for you, Josh, to be godly, like-minded in your walk with God. And God, help me out, Glenn, with the scripture. He said, give it all up to him and he'll add on to you whatever else next. Now, Glenn can tell you the scripture. Amen. But my question to you, Joshua, my question to you, Joshua, are you like that? Are you chasing after the wind? Are you trying to make that money? Or are you really content with your life?
I was
Jonathan. I'm sorry, go ahead. Y'all on the bottom row of my screen. I'm seeing things a little wrong. My bad.
To answer that, right now I can say I'm not chasing money, but I'm chasing stability because I haven't been working in a year and a half.
Okay.
I've been out of work in a year and a half, so. The way of thinking, yes, I used to think I need money, you know, I needed money to have a good time to go out and do this. But now my mindset is I want to help somebody.
Go ahead, brother.
Right.
Go ahead, brother. That's a good one. People like myself and Prentice and whoever else on the screen that might have established, and Glenn, Bump and I talked about this so much. There are so many selfish people in this world, y'all. Do y'all realize that the rich people, and I think it's a scripture somewhere in there, where he talks about we ought to try to help each other. If you got a lot, give to the needy. If you got money, give to the people that need. Yes. But some people think they're supposed to keep it all to themselves. But guess what? Now, Glenn, you're going to have to help me with this one. When Jesus picked some of his disciples, he told them, sell all you have and come and follow me.
Come follow me.
So what I'm saying to you all is scripture. To walk truly with God, do we really need money to follow God from our heart, our desires, our love for him? Do we need money? And I'm going to ask Glenn that question.
Well, you know, there's a scripture that speaks exactly to this situation. Remember when Jesus was walking and the rich young ruler came up to him?
Amen.
He said, what, good father, good master, what would I do to inherit eternal life? He said, sell all you have and follow me.
Oh, heck no.
First he asks us, what did the scriptures say? And he said, all those I kept from you. You know, and I've not fallen away from those things. And he said, well, then sell all you have and follow me. And the Bible said that he went away exceedingly sorrowful, for yes, he was very rich.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says that if a man desires to keep it, and then he will lose it. But if he desires to throw it away, he can gain it all.
Amen.
And what he's saying is yeah, that if you're going to put money over salvation, then you've lost already.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Salvation above money in this life and the next life, you can have whatever you ask. Now, it's scripture, because the Bible said, I would above all that you prosper, be in health, even as thy soul prosper.
Yes.
If you are prospering by the way of your soul, amen, prospering by following Christ, then like Bump said, you're the richest person you can ever know, because you found what true wealth is all about.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible said that
man is
happy. Children are the wealth of the father, and happy is the man that has a quiver full. Because that's the legacy. You're laying up a legacy, yes, for those to follow. Josh and Jason, those guys have, you know, young lives, but they got the knowledge that we're giving them that, you know, there's a different chase, that if you follow that chase, you'll find satisfaction. And with the satisfaction in that chase, riches comes along with it. Mm-hmm. Finances comes along with it. My brother said that he wants to be a blessing. Well, God says he gives seeds to the sower. So you, yep, now search God for what it is that he will have you to do, because he says that your talents will make room for you and bring you before, yes, great men. But and what your hands can do that can give God glory, that God can use, find that and you'll find that you'll never work a day in your life.
Now,
amen.
Now I'm going to take this a step further. I want to go a little bit of step, because we've been, I know Solomon meant this more than just money, but now I want to talk about attitude. I want to talk. Mm-hmm. I want to get to the attitude part of this equation, mm-hmm, because there's an attitudinal part to not just making money, but making life. And what I mean by that is this. Do you know that you can think that you are more than what you are?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm going to say this again. Mm-hmm. You can think that you are more than what you are because of what you have accumulated. That doesn't make you the man just because you got a few dimes or you got a few dollars. Because once you start to make it everything about you, you miss God's point.
Yes.
God wants us to make everything about somebody else.
Amen.
So you got to learn to take yourself out of the equation and consider somebody else. So if your conversation with somebody is always I, brother, you got it all wrong.
Amen. Amen.
You got it all wrong. We got to take I out of our conversation and put we or us or them. We got to start looking out for somebody else. See, Bump did to me, Glenn, what you just said. Do you know Bump asked me that question one time?
Wow.
And he don't even realize it.
Wow.
Bump and I were discussing this one time, and Bump said to me, and I'm going to be honest with you, when he left my house, I did just like the rich ruler did. I went in my room and I asked myself, would I be willing to give it all up to follow God?
Wow.
And guys, amen. I didn't like the way Bump made me feel. I got mad at him.
I didn't know that.
I didn't like him asking me that question, but it was a legit question. But I'm going to be honest with y'all. You have to be a certain place with Christ to even understand that question.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
See, if you ain't at a certain place in your life with Christ, you would never understand the question that Jesus asked the rich ruler.
Amen.
See, you cannot be. See, we all are growing in Christ in different levels, and we can't expect everybody to be on the same page at the same time. But when you know God, and you truly know God from your heart, now when Glenn bring that question up, I can understand what he's talking about.
Amen.
Because my money don't matter no more. I live like a poor man. When I knew I was going to retire early, I bought me some clippers. I started cutting my own little bald head. I started being self-sufficient because when you own a certain amount of money a month, then you live a certain way. You don't go out and splurge. Even if you got it in savings, you just don't do that. So what my message is tonight to everybody else, look at your financial situation and make sure you're not living above your means. Because God, in the word of God, says you don't need it anyway. So why cause yourself all these problems worrying about it? Because in my case, I love my kids to death. I do. I'm going to use my son because I know he can take it. He's tough. He's tough-minded. He can take what I'm about to say. But if I left everything I had to Jalen, he's going to piss it in the wind. Excuse my language.
You know.
He's going to sell it. He's going to spend it. He's going to party it. And that's what Solomon said in one of his scriptures. He said, how do you know when you leave it to your next of kin, what they're going to be a fool about it? They're going to just take all your hard work and they go chasing out the wind with it. Just go and spend it, get rid of it. And now all your hard work is gone in the flash of an eye.
Amen.
So when I think about that, y'all, I'm excited tonight, excuse me. But when I think about the goodness of God, when I think about how we, all nine of us on the screen tonight and anybody else that may be listening, when we truly put God in our hearts, none of that matters. How much money you got don't matter. Treat people, that's your true blessing. Amen. How you love people is your true blessing.
Amen.
Being able to say I'm wrong when I make a mistake, that's a blessing, not a curse. Mm-hmm. Being able to say, hey, I messed up. Please forgive me, Glenn. Please forgive me, Prentice. Y'all know one of the biggest things that happened to me is when I went to Prentice and said, man, I did it when I was 10 years old, but I said, Prentice, I'm sorry. Man, y'all don't know. It took a monkey off my back because I didn't know that he felt the way he felt. But what it did to me, it brought me out. It's like God is saying, now you can grow.
Amen.
We cannot grow. See, people say, oh, I rely on God. But praise you can't rely on God until you release the old baggage.
Hey. Right.
See, so, God is not going to take you with all that baggage. You got to get rid of all that baggage. You got to dump who you used to be. You got to let it all go. I love my mom, and I hate to bring up Todd and Bum Dad, but man, he was a special man to me. My mom and boy, they was raised hard. They were. I love them. And they taught me, Bump and Todd, and my brother Henry and Stanley, they taught us to be hard.
We did.
Now, Bump and Henry, they came out of that shining like a rose. But me, Todd, and Noonie, we were hardcore to the bone. That doesn't make it right, though. So we have to learn to say, okay, I'm going to empty the old Jerome and in come the godliness of something new.
Ooh, hallelujah, baby. Mm-hmm.
See, Todd, we got to let go. We got to let go of our past to let the newness come in to be somebody new.
Amen, bro.
That's the only way we grow. That's the only way God can deal with us.
Wow.
That's the only way. That's the only way he can deal with us. So Glenn, put me some scripture with what I just said, because I know you got them.
Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 says, remember not the former things. Put away the former things.
Man. Hallelujah, bro.
You got to let that stuff go.
Man, I'm going to be honest with you, man.
Solomon right there by talking about it. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 says, I think right around verse 11, it says, remember not the former things and put the former things away. And see, you have to forget about your past.
Yes, sir.
He tells us in Ezekiel, he says that, come, when you ask God forgiveness, he said, I forgive, I remember your sins no more. I'll put them as far away from you as the east to the west. Now come, let us reason together. Come now, you tell me who you are. And what you're saying about your relatives getting your inheritance, remember the prodigal son.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you.
Went to his daddy and say, hey, give me the force of forgiveness. Falls to me. Basically, he told his daddy, I wish you was dead. because I want my inheritance. You don't get an inheritance until that person's dead.
Amen. Yeah.
That mm-hmm. was so cool about it. Like, all right, I'm gonna give it to you. So he divided his living amongst his son. The yep. younger son went and parted it all out, threw it all away until he was in a pig pen, facing a downward position, about to eat what the pigs were eating, came to himself and said, mm-hmm. if I could just make it to my father's house, I'd rather be like one of the servants than to be here going through what I'm going through. But it, just like God, the father in that story was so powerful because the Bible said when he saw him afar off, he ran to him.
Ran to him.
Put his arms around him and then restored him back to his place. Now, there's a significance to that because until the prodigal son forgot his past, he couldn't move forward to his future.
Amen.
He was Amen. Trying to live the way he was living. He was going to stay in the pig pen.
Yep.
But until he realized that none of this stuff matters, I'd rather be just like a servant. I'm going home to be a servant in my father's house. He put away his past. He put down his position, threw away his title, and he went home to daddy. And it's just like God. He sees us afar off, and he comes and put his arms around us and starts the restoration process. What's so cool about God is when you give all your money away for his purpose, he even says, if you lend to the poor, you lend it unto God, and God repays.
Man.
So if you're going to do that kind of thing and you're going to let God have his way, you're going to get back what you put down before anyway, because when you realize it doesn't mean anything to you, you're not chasing after it. When you give things to God like money and time, God gives it back to you exponentially.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So you don't have to struggle for it anyway.
Amen. So the next question.
I like the way Jesus put it, though. You know, and Jesus said, whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it.
Amen.
And like John said, Jesus even said, you got to lose it in order to find your life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, brother.
And I'm going to be honest with y'all. I don't know who all may be listening to us tonight, but I love using myself. I'm 52 years old, and I was lost for 50 years.
Wow.
I can honestly say that. I had a little knowledge. I got a little military background, had a few dollars. But guys, 2 years ago, I got sick and I started really paying attention to God. I feel better now about who I am than I ever have at any point in my life.
Amen. Hallelujah, bro.
And this is what Solomon was saying. Everything is meaningless unless you know God.
Amen.
Until you put God in his rightful place,
yes, sir.
The struggle will continue. I say that again, man. We struggle because, and it's a scripture about that. We have not because we don't ask.
Amen.
And I'm pouring my heart out to y'all tonight because I see the struggle because I talk to guys. I talk to people. Man, there are so many people that are struggling and don't have to because we worry about all the wrong things. Mm-hmm. We get caught up in all the wrong issues, the drama, all the things that just don't matter. The only thing that matters is serving God.
Amen.
That's it. If you're not serving God and you're not serving God the right way, your struggle will continue. And until Jerome learned to dump the baggage, and what I mean by baggage, it can be from, your baggage may be different than mine. Your baggage could be your mindset.
Yes.
Now, Jerome got a lot of baggage, so he had a mindset baggage, got, you know, dealing with women baggage. He had it all kind of baggage.
Nice.
So when you're dealing with stuff, only God can truly answer your baggage, though, until you give it up to God, until you put it in the right perspective. So now I go to Todd. I want to ask Todd and Prentice this question. I got a big question for them two. How do we get to where, tell people how to dump the baggage, Todd? I'm going to start with Todd, then I'm going to Prentice. How do we dump it? How do we do what Glenn is saying and get rid of the baggage? I'm actually looking for an answer for myself on this one.
I think we first have to do some soul searching and admit that this is baggage. Because a lot of times, I know for me personally, the baggage, my baggage is the shiny stuff. When I say the shiny stuff, the stuff that people praise are the things that I feel really good about myself. And it might not be good for no one but me, but because I feel so good about it, and the things we feel good about, 10 out of 10 does not glorify the kingdom.
Amen.
So that in itself makes it baggage, because as a born again believer, every step that I take and the things that I'm striving for has to tie in with glorifying the kingdom. If not, if it ain't baggage now, it would turn into baggage sooner or later, because we got to glorify him at all times.
Amen. Prentice, I don't know how you're going to top that one, brother, but go ahead and try. I'll tell you that.
Okay. But my thing on a personal level, when you're talking to someone about this, it has to be they're willing to give up, mm-hmm. give it up. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times, and we've discussed this before, everybody don't want to hear you come at me with scripture.
Yeah. Right.
You got to give them a reason to give it up. You got mm-hmm. to be, the question you asked earlier, Jerome, are you fulfilled?
Amen.
Is your life fulfilled?
Amen.
Amen, right. Prince.
A lot of times what happens is the reason we're still chasing the wind because there's still something missing.
Go ahead, friend.
Amen.
When he was talking, when Jesus was talking to the lady at the well, he said, they drank and they never would get thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
When he told the water I give, they would never go thirsty again. See, people, now, that's why we drink. Amen. And never get full.
Amen.
And our thirst is never quenched.
Yeah.
Because we're drinking from the wrong water. We're drinking out of the wrong water.
Now, I'm going to say this, and I hope nobody take this wrong. Some of the things that we're talking about tonight, the coronavirus should have answered for us.
Man, amen, Jay. Say it again.
And what I mean by that is, see, you had to change your lifestyle during the coronavirus.
Yes.
Because of this pandemic, everybody had to make some changes.
Yeah.
You can't go out everywhere and eat. You can't go to bars and restaurants and all that good stuff. So you had to change your lifestyle. So to say to me tonight that you can't do it, you can.
Yeah,
I advise everybody that when we come out of this pandemic, I say act like you're still in it.
Mm.
Because we even serving God.
Right.
And I'm not talking about acting like you're in it because you're afraid. I'm saying your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
We had to stay out of clubs now. We had to stay out of restaurants. We had to stop doing a whole lot of things that we was accustomed to doing because of the pandemic. So now, I think the pandemic has helped me to be a better person. You know why?
Yeah.
Because of the pandemic, I gave God more time.
Right. Mm.
Yeah.
I studied more. I'm home more. I'm online on Tuesday nights.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a Wednesday and Thursday night, well, I do Wednesdays too. I do a Thursday and a Friday because I got nowhere to go anyway. So God is good.
You thank you? Yes, sir.
So what I'm trying to say, I want to go to Brother Charles right now, and I'm going to say, Brother Charles, enlighten us on some of the things that has helped you during the pandemic.
Well, one thing... a lot of stuff I, as a believer, a lot of stuff I just took for granted. It became common. What I mean by that, just going to church, I felt like I felt entitled because I was a believer. I can go to church and, you know, you go and worship. It just became a habit. And I really didn't appreciate it. Now,
amen.
Through the pandemic, and I value that time that God gave me. Whenever we do get back, I don't even want to go back to the old way. I want to go back as a changed believer, And when I step through that door of church, that I can give him worship like I've never given before. Simply because I've stayed home, simply because going through the pandemic, I don't take things for granted like I used to. Now, even studying, I used to go to Bible study all the time. Oh man, every time the church was open, I was there. But I got to a place where I was complacent. But yet now God sent you guys to encourage me and help me to get back into the word. That thing is priceless.
Amen, bro.
Mm. It really is. Mm. And I know you're talking about the riches, Jerome, being rich and falling after money. But whenever I open up that book and I find the truth, what God has deposited, the moment I became a believer, what God deposited on the inside of me, he deposited on the inside of me the capability to be, how you say it, he's able to do exceedingly abundant above all that I act or think, according to the power that works in me. That power he deposited in me can take me way beyond what my thought pattern was about the money.
Amen.
Amen.